station for Yankee baseball, but the Yankees are not playing today, which is a good thing because they've been losing lately. And if you are just tuning in, John Sterling is returning to the radio booth for the final home series of the year. The three games against the Orioles, the three games against the Pirates, and then he'll broadcast the playoffs as long as it continues. Right now, it's 5-0.
Cinco de 5-0 with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de 5-0 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. All right, our lead up to NFL kickoff series on Cinco continues. Tonight, we begin the season, Ravens and Chiefs. A game you can hear courtesy of Westwood One tonight on The Fan. Evan, yes. We're going to give our picks in moments. I'm going to give you, in my opinion, the five teams most likely to win the Super Bowl.
All right. Let's see if it matches my Super Bowl picks.
Here we go.
Number five.
The 49ers. NFC remains wide open.
Sure.
Make losers last year. But my question why they're only at five is how many times can you get to the big stage and lose and keep bouncing back?
No, it's tough to get to a Super Bowl. They've been there twice. Can they get there a third time and then actually seal the deal?
Yeah. Here we go.
Number four.
The Packers. Emerging quarterback, actually the youngest team in the NFL. Surprising little playoff run last year. Loaded trio of receivers. Underrated defense. And more importantly, the more wide-open conference and path to get there.
And getting to a Super Bowl in his second year as a starter, it took Aaron Rodgers his third year as a starter.
Tiki, don't like that one. That's okay.
No, I don't, because I think of Detroit and Chicago and maybe even Minnesota.
Tricky division.
It's a tricky division.
Tricky division.
Faith in the pack.
Here we go. Number three.
The Texans.
It's a good one. Really?
Easier division, path to get to a one seed, and I'm going to give you a little nugget here. Before last year, the last time a rookie quarterback won a playoff game, the following year, that team and that quarterback won the Super Bowl.
Who was that?
Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you know who else
did
that?
Don't forget, they had offensive rookie of the year, the defensive rookie of the year.
I give runner-up
to the coach of the year, and then they added defensively, brought in... Neil Hunter.
Yeah.
I was thinking of somebody else. I was thinking of Ben Roethlisberger. 2004, his rookie season, they lose in the championship game to New England. Following year, they won the Super Bowl.
Devon Diggs.
Yeah. I think people are looking for reasons not to pick the Texans.
They got Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
They got some good players on that team.
Yep.
I have them week one, by the way.
Here we go.
Number two.
The Chiefs. Hard to dethrone these champs. They are going for the three-peat, and I think that's the reason they're not number one for me, is the idea that they are going for the three-peat.
Who are you putting number one? Like, seriously, I mean, because the Chiefs are number one. They are the clear team to beat. They're the final boss of the AFC.
Who's the leading receiver on that team?
It doesn't matter. Rashee Rice, like last year. Like, what does it matter?
Old man, it's Rashee Rice.
See, this is why I defend people when they mispronounce names, because we all do it.
Unbelievable. Here we go.
Number one.
It's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Really?
Joe Burrow healthy. Both receivers this year playing for money in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And I think it's a what have you done for me lately? We've kind of forgotten about the Bengals, and they've proven they can get there. And you know why they're number one? They're the only damn quarterback and coach combo that's beaten Mahomes in Arrowhead. And
they are the only ones to do it. Is it fair to start to wonder if Joe Burrow can stay healthy? I mean, he's starting to write the career of a guy that's, you know, great, but kind of injury prone. Okay.
So the Pittsburgh Steelers never have losing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland Browns probably have the best defense in the National Football League.
I mean, how dare you?
The Baltimore Ravens, the Jets notwithstanding, of course, sorry to offend you with the local team.
I'm slightly offended.
And the Baltimore Ravens were just in the AFC Championship game. And they added Derrick Henry to a running game that already gets 3,000 yards a season.
If this was a Cinco de 10-0.
Again, it's another tough division.
It is,
you pick two in divisions that are, I think are atrociously going to eliminate themselves.
But that's how big a behemoth the Chiefs are. At least I've seen this combo for the Bengals do it.
You know, it's funny, and that's a good list, even though if we disagree with you, we're getting ready for the football season. As I was putting together my NFL predictions, because I get very intricate, Tiki.
Yeah.
In fact, I just tweeted it out. You can all see it in details, all the standings, everybody's win-loss record. When I was going back and forth on this, what really tripped me up was the NFC. What tripped me up was...
Yeah.
when was the last time we saw an NFC team get to back-to-back Super Bowls? The answer is the Seahawks over a decade ago. The NFC almost feels like this open invitational.
Yep.
Where someone's going to step up. Maybe we're not even thinking about them and represent the conference. So before I give you my predictions, we'll go around the room and you can join us. 888-808-1019. I said to myself, it's the Chiefs and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are the team to beat. I'm not conceding the AFC to them, but they are the team to beat. So if I was making a Cinco de Five of the five likeliest teams to win the Super Bowl, Kansas City would be number one, and the next four teams, Teak, would be NFC teams because the NFC is more wide open.
Yeah.
On every level, is more wide open than the dominance of getting past this behemoth as Kansas City.
So you think one of those teams are in the AFC, they're not getting past the Chiefs. So none of them are winning the Super Bowl.
Well,
and so that's why it's whoever the opponent in the Super Bowl is has a chance to beat the Chiefs if they get better and get to the Super Bowl and do whatever.
Even if we power rank teams.
Because none of those NFC teams are better than the Chiefs.
Right. No.
It's a matter of evolving into a team that can beat the Chiefs by the time you get to the Super Bowl.
Well, and it's also getting to the Super Bowl. Getting to the Super Bowl out of the NFC has been this open invitational. Getting to the Super Bowl out of the AFC takes almost a miracle.
Right.
So if I'm ranking the five likeliest teams to win the Super Bowl, it is not the five best teams. It's the five likeliest teams. It's the Chiefs and then four NFC teams that have a chance to win the open invitational that is the National Football Conference to then get there. And so I think the Chiefs are coming out of the AFC. I'll put that out of the way right now. I think they're going to have a good regular season. They'll probably get tripped up early like they always do. They'll win 12 or 13 games. They'll end up hosting the AFC Championship game. I believe my football team, the New York Jets, and maybe this is the optimism, I'm smelling the smoke of the season beginning. I'm smelling the smoke of Aaron Rodgers actually being healthy and saying all the right things. I'm smelling the smoke of the dynamic offensive potential this team has, the fact the offensive line has greatly improved. Maybe I'm ignoring the fact that Robert Saleh hasn't proven a damn thing. I think the New York Jets are going to win the AFC East.
The New York Jets suck.
Shut up! I think this is going to be the third time in my lifetime I see them win the AFC East. I don't think it's going to be easy because I think Miami and Buffalo are both kind of in that 9-10-ish win area, same as the Jets. I think we're going to destroy the New England Patriots. They're going to be awful this year. Now, as far as the other playoff teams are concerned, you're totally right. Like, I could see everyone finishing at 500 or above in the AFC North. Mm-hmm. I think the Ravens will take it again. I like the Texans to win the AFC South. I like Kansas City to win the AFC West. And I like a Jet Chief AFC Championship game. But the NFC was fun. The NFC is where I really dove deep. And I'm analyzing schedules and off seasons and depth charts. And it came to one place.
You did much more than we all did.
Thank you. I'm very prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And everything pointed to one NFC team. And believe it or not, here's the funny thing about this NFC team. No one's talking about them.
Atlanta Falcons?
On the level. Are you going to play the guessing game with me?
Yeah, Atlanta Falcons.
I only allow you one guess.
Was it the Atlanta Falcons?
The Atlanta Falcons are not the team.
I got a guess.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not doing this. I want to announce it.
Well, hold on. Can we just get the guess on the record and then you don't tell me it's not that?
Fine. I'm not going to respond, but go ahead.
I think because it's becoming trendy in the last 24 hours.
Trendy?
I've listened to a lot of stuff.
Go ahead.
And you're going to think you're original. The Rams.
Son of a bitch. It's the Rams. That's trendy.
Become over the last 24 hours the most trendy NFC championship.
Why? I haven't seen anyone else say it. I was so excited when I came up with the Rams.
I'm on like a third podcast. I'm going to listen to it. Yeah.
Part of it's the coach.
Of course it is.
And Puka Nacua. Yeah. And Matt Stafford.
And Cooper Kupp actually being healthy.
And Matt Stafford actually being healthy.
Yes,
it's really more Matt Stafford actually being healthy. Last year he was not.
I agree. Yeah. I think their offense has a chance to be insanely dynamic. And I also think this is the other part. No matter what he says today, Aaron Donald's going to come back.
No, he's not.
No?
I think he's done.
Not everybody's you, Tiki, who says, I'm done and I'm done. Aaron Donald's going to get that little could be fun. But now I'm pissed off that you, because I haven't seen anyone predict it. The trendy picks I've seen are the Detroit Lions, the Niners doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Packers have been very trendy. A lot of them making the step. And here's what's beautiful and what I really do love about this. The NFC is so genuinely wide open. Like, it really is. Like, I could sit here. I'll make the case for the Rams. Yeah. You can make it for Green Bay. Tiki will disagree and make it, I would assume, for Detroit because you love Dan Campbell.
I do. I kind of like the Atlanta Falcons, to be honest with you.
By the way, I thought long and hard about Atlanta. They have the softest schedule in the league, essentially.
Exactly, because they were a bad team last year.
Yeah.
And it's all about Kirk Cousins' at 37's health. And if he's not healthy, can a rookie in Michael Penix Jr. step in and be whatever? a good rookie quarterback.
Can you really trust a guy that old coming off a torn Achilles? I'm just kidding. Of course you can.
I mean, you better.
Same old Jets.
Of course you can. Right. But you can make that argument for Atlanta. You can make that argument, even though we're certainly not going to do it around here, for Dallas and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like, the NFC has a bunch of teams that you can absolutely argue will get to a Super Bowl, because the NFC has shown you over the last 7-8 years that it's completely wide open.
But and it also feels like all of these teams that we're talking about, they all feel the same. It's like nobody has a little edge. Talking about the top, so Atlanta, the Rams, I guess San Francisco probably does because of their skill position players. Mm-hmm. But they just seem to not be able to ever get over that whatever hump it is.
You know why? Head coach.
Well,
chokes in the big spot.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
Doesn't understand overtime rules.
But he didn't in the NFC Championship game.
No, he's been fine in the NFC Championship
game. Against a very good Detroit team.
Yeah.
But Detroit's in a tough division. Atlanta's not in a tough division.
That is the big edge I think Atlanta has, is that their roadmap to hosting a playoff game, mm-hmm. and dare I say getting a first-round bye, is a lot less complicated than the kind of the path that's in front of whoever's coming out of the NFC West, mm-hmm. to be the Rams, or whoever's coming out of the NFC North, and even to a degree the NFC East. Because one of my surprises, if you will, is I think the Washington Commanders, this I got from Sean, the Washington Commanders win the NFC East.
Oh, really?
Commanders! That's right. The Washington Red Football, well, I want to mix all the team names together. Hold on a second. The Washington
Red Football Team Commander?
Red Football Team Manders, yes.
The Commanders!
That's what we should do. We should just mix the three together. Red Football Manders.
Red Mander Football Team.
Red Man. Yeah. And I love the fact that Dallas and
That's
Philly.
Kind of a cool name.
It would be.
The Washington Red Manders.
There's something off about the Eagles. Like, their collapse last year felt like it's deeper than just simply, you know what, we're going to change the coordinators, we're going to bring in Saquon Barkley, and everything's going
to
be okay.
A lot of it that we're starting to hear about, and I don't know how true any of this is, but it is what it is that Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni just didn't mesh.
That's a problem.
From a play-calling standpoint, which is why they bring in Kellen Moore,
mm-hmm.
because now there's a buffer between head coach and quarterback. You know, so we'll see.
But that also worries me for their standpoint.
Of course.
Kellen Moore, the moment he left Dallas last year, they got so much better offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Chargers 1 year,
right.
felt like they took a step back with Kellen
Moore.
They
did. They definitely did.
So,
but the Chargers are hard to judge.
And sure.
Because they don't have a home field advantage. It's like they're on the road every game, even the home games. And they had a quarterback who feels like he was being misused.
But was he being misused by Kellen Moore is the question.
I don't know. That's what I don't know. But it's felt like that for a couple of years.
Also, on Philly's note, I think we're underappreciating losing Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce from that locker.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the Eagles have the recipe to be a massive disappointment. And look, I think in Philadelphia, massive disappointment is not getting to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm taking it a step further, thinking they're not going to make the postseason. That they could be an 8-win team that ends up blowing up the coaching staff,
so
specifically
talent,
the head coach at the end of the year.
They have so much talent.
Have we not seen that before?
Of course, but to me, the biggest issue is whether or not Jalen Hurts takes the next step from a quarterbacking standpoint.
Oh, absolutely.
Because now, without Kelce, mm-hmm. who was phenomenal, instant Hall of Famer, as will be his brother whenever he decides to retire. Without Kelce calling the protections or calling the identifications at the line, it's now on Hurts. So he has to do all of that.
Mm.
And so it's a different scenario. And their center is young. He's a second-year player.
I have one team making the playoffs out of the NFC East. Mm. That's the Washington Commanders.
Wow.
I have the Chicago Bears finishing ahead of the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North and making the postseason. See, I had some fun with this. But overall, AFC title game, Kansas City Chiefs defeat my New York Jets. We'll be there. We'll be at the championship game. That's already in the planning it out. I'm just kidding. But we will at some point. And the NFC championship, we'll see the Los Angeles Rams defeat the Detroit Lions.
There's a lot of compelling teams this year.
So what are you going to do?
A lot of compelling
teams. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it?
I don't know.
I got Chiefs Rams. What is Tiki Barber's official 2024 Super Bowl prediction?
I'm going to go Ravens, Falcons.
Ravens Falcons.
It's an interesting one.
The Battle of the Birds.
The Battle of the Birds.
Yeah. You know what the thing is with Atlanta? Because they do have the roadmap to mm-hmm. success based on division schedule. And they do have a lot of talent on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
Can we see a world in which Kirk Cousins is leading a team
to
a Super
Bowl? That's why I'm picking them at the beginning of the year.
What does that mean? Because you don't think it's going to happen?
No, because nobody else is.
Yeah, it's one of those. Well, I don't think anyone's picking the Rams either. Uh-huh. By the way. I don't know what the hell Sean's talking about. I'm telling you.
For me at this point, because I know that I'm going to be wrong, no matter what I did, if I did a complete analysis like you did,
yeah.
And by the way, I have the resources to do it
you
because I get
do.
All of the yeah. info from CBS yeah. for calling games, I would waste my time because somebody's going to get hurt and I'm going to be wrong.
Yeah.
And so what do I do instead? Who's my favorite quarterback right now?
So that's what you're doing?
Like Lamar Jackson. Who's one of my favorite head coaches? Oh, I know. Raheem Morris. Who's my boy? So let me go Atlanta Falcons, Baltimore Ravens.
So just for the record on this, the Baltimore Ravens, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook odds, if you place any of these long-term wagers, mm-hmm. which can be fun, the Ravens have the second best odds to represent the AFC behind the Kansas City Chiefs.
Which makes sense. They were in the AFC Championship game a year ago.
Completely agree. I don't disagree with that.
And they added a stud at running back.
Yep. The Atlanta Falcons are sixth. Okay?
Sixth overall.
In the NFC. Just to represent the NFC.
I got it.
It's funny. What I was doing earlier today, and Sean kind of disappointed me, is I went on FanDuel. And I picked an AFC winner and an NFC winner, and I parlayed it. So, like, I'm making a Super Bowl pick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the pick I made was the Jets against the Giants,
yeah,
just for fun.
Massive.
Yeah, if you bet $100, which I offered to the guys, I said, why don't we go in and have some fun together?
We should, actually.
Thank you. It's $100 to win, I'm not even kidding you, $62,000. The odds of a Giant-Jets Super Bowl.
That's not worth a lunch for you?
No, that
$25
is...
$25 a pop?
Yeah, well, each putting $25 in. You wouldn't do that?
$25, yeah. $25.
And you got to keep this in mind.
$63,000.
I thought you were asking me to bet another $100. I'd rather save the $100 than lose. You would never win at $62. It's never hitting.
Why is it not hitting? No, I'm just curious, since you're a diehard fan.
I will tell you why.
Yeah, tell me why.
Because a Robert Saleh coach seems to be making $100.
You picked him to win 16 games this season.
Regular season games.
What he doesn't want to admit is it's not about the Jets.
No.
It's about the Giants.
You want to know the truth?
Yeah, I want to know the truth. Why wouldn't you make that bet? I think we should all make it just for fun. As long as you have the money to bet it and you can be responsible, that's a fun New York bet. Yeah.
Because of the conference, I think there's more of a path for the Giants to get the Super Bowl than the Jets.
So everything I laid out about how open the NFC is?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Now, first of all, despite that, you're still wrong. Mm. I mean, obviously, the Jets have a much better chance to get to the Super Bowl.
No, I know. All those playoff years, the last 13 years, really tell me that.
But you're somehow turning your trepidation into this bet because, quote, here's what Sean wrote when I sent this text to them about this bet. He wrote, quote, you're bleeping nuts.
Because
it's not about the Jets.
We're never seeing a Jet-Giants Super Bowl in our lifetime.
What?
Mm. It's just not going to happen. The odds of getting there for both teams are
never
going to happen.
Well, that's why they would pay you so much money.
Right.
But if you're such a confident guy, especially in your own
I'm
team.
I'm not confident.
But you're a positive Giant fan. You're wearing that Montreal Canadiens Giant jersey
First
today.
First of all, this is a beautiful jersey. I encourage all Giant fans to go out and buy it right now, the Century Ring.
It looks beautiful. Like the Canadiens.
No, it's actually gorgeous in person. I've changed on this.
All right. So you don't believe in the Giants. That's why
it
you don't want to make
it. It just doesn't scream Giants.
No.
No, it looks like the Canadiens.
But you know when it will scream Giants?
Week one.
When they drop 30 on the Vikings and win week one.
But listen to this contradiction, Teak. You're so confident about that, yet you wouldn't want to have fun with a Jet-Giant bet?
No, I wouldn't.
How about positive Tommy? He thinks the Giants are going to win 11 games.
I'm in.
See, then.
25 smackaroos, I'm in.
Let's go.
Now, here's the thing
First
with Sean.
I've seen Tommy want to dip into his wallet.
Oh, you will. I'll Venmo you. Don't worry. Sean, we know this. He gets sports muscles. If the Giants get off to a 3-0 start, they're going to win. They're going to be the greatest team ever. He needs to get those sports muscles. He doesn't have them right now because the organization has told you that the quarterback stinks for the last 6 months.
Right.
He'll get his sports muscles. He's already got the Jets winning 45 regular season games. He'll 16. Get in on it.
So
make the bet for him and then spot him the money.
Okay, so if the Giants win week one, which I think they will Sunday against Minnesota despite being a dog, you think Sean comes in and says, let's make that Jet-Giants Super Bowl bet?
1,000%. The odds will only go down slightly, too, if at all. So we should be good. Ask him on Monday.
Here's the problem with this bet, besides the fact that, yes, it's very unlikely the Jets and Giants will play in the Super Bowl, I'm a big cash-out kind of guy.
Mm.
And if the Giants get off to any kind of good start, and all of a sudden they're offering us, you know.
They're offering like 20? No, you got to stay lay in.
Got to keep going. 20 what?
20 grand.
Oh, I was going to say like $200 for out.
No.
What time?
No.
We owe it to the audience to go all the way through with it.
If we all lay $25 and they ask us to split up 20 grand, Tiki, go take the $5,000 and rebet it. All right?
Exactly. No, we can't do that for the audience because it's bad juju. It's bad vibes. You
think
can't cash out.
If the Giants and Jets both.
I think Loogie's right.
Well, but if the Giants
bad
and Jets.
Juju, that's a monthly mortgage payment for me.
It's a lot of money. If the Giants and Jets both made the playoffs, I assume that would cause a possible big buyout situation. You're telling me that we just so for the good of people making fun of us, we shouldn't cash out when we're walking away with a couple of
grand? The integrity of this show is worth more than 20 grand.
Is he?
I'm serious. It
he
is. That's a, such a weasel. Like, it's a weasel.
The integrity of the show. We just had an artificial tiki barber.
Don't worry about that. It's one thing.
I appreciate what you're saying, Lugie. I really do. I think he's the first guy out if we get offered a buyout. Lugie is.
Oh, no question.
He's the first guy.
First guy out. This isn't Seinfeld, the competition. We're in it together.
No,
we can't cash out just for me.
If
it's one cash out.
If we get an offer of, let's say, $5,000, you'd be the first guy to say, you know what he would do, Tiki? He'd money shame us. Well, doesn't affect you guys. You guys make so much more money. But for me, we need it. My wife is never going to talk. Like, you would be the first guy to say cash out on this. First guy.
You may or may not be right, but I do think... No, but we owe the audience, because obviously we talk about it all year long. If we pull out on this and one of those teams get knocked off, we're going to get blamed for it. Just imagine us in, where is it, New Orleans this year?
Yeah.
In New Orleans, 60 grand richer at the Super Bowl, because we're definitely going if both teams are there. You know, we're interviewing whatever former player.
Right.
We're going to be pumped up. Right. That's a lot of Hurricanes we're going to be buying on Bourbon Street.
And Lugie, if we pull out, there's no baby, man.
Oh, boy.
I thought
Ban Tiki was an hour ago.
By the way, would you guys want to make the parlay of Mets Yankees World Series? Because that one's out there, too. You want to know
that
what that
one?
So it's obviously not as great, but it's still a lot of money. If you bet $100 on a Mets Yankee World Series, $9,700.
What's that? Really?
Wow, it almost feels like they think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, those odds are not that great. What am I missing?
And
that
by the way,
good for baseball.
The odds are going to go down now because we've said this to millions of people here, and everyone just bet this on their phone. So we should have bet this before.
Jets?
No, Yankees Mets. Oh, everybody just boom, boom, boom that just now.
Well, so the Yankee Met one, here's why the number isn't that high. The Yankees are the favorites out of the American League.
So any one of the seven contenders in the NL is not.
And I know that's very tough for people to imagine because we spend all our time bashing them, and Brian Cashman's an idiot, and Aaron Boone's a moron, and all that kind of stuff.
The Astros just got swept by the Reds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... Right, which means nothing.
But everybody else around the country looks at the Yankees and say, oh, they're playing bad, but they're still half a game out of first place.
Right.
The Orioles lost to the White Sox.
And
they have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto.
American League is flawed. There's a lot of money there. So the Yankees are the favorites out of the American League at plus 250, and the Mets are plus 2,700. So they're obviously more of an underdog because they got to make the playoffs. The Mets are not favored to make the playoffs. They are still an underdog to even get in. But $100 to win 9,700, I mean,
are we going to get Lugie's Super Bowl pick?
That sounds like fun. I haven't heard your Super Bowl pick. So just for the record, I am picking the Kansas City Chiefs against the LA Rams. Tiki is picking the Baltimore Ravens against the Atlanta Falcons.
Emotionally.
All right. Tommy Lugauer, go ahead. Your Super Bowl pick is?
So I have the Chiefs in there. Seconds after they won the Super Bowl last year, they were already talking about a three-peat. They're motivated. I think Xavier Worthy's the new Tyreek Hill, the rookie out of Texas.
Are you sure they're motivated? Kelsey's doing a movie and a horror movie or horror-like show and... getting married at some point, and
I thought they
got $100 million podcast with his brother.
I thought they were scheduling a breakup. Wasn't that the latest fake rumor?
She will be at Arrowhead tonight.
Yes, she will.
Okay.
And then I think they've almost become overlooked here. The 49ers. I think everybody's trying to get
find reasons not to pick them.
You went with the chalk.
Yep.
The same thing that annoys you with me with NFL
picks.
Well,
that was negative Tommy. Now positive Tommy sees things more positively.
Oh, so the positive Tommy's affected all walks of life for you.
Absolutely. And by the way, positive Tommy also believes the fighting Rondé Barbers will win the division. The Bucks will win the division, not the Falcons.
By the way, so Tommy is predicting a repeat Super Bowl. The last time we had a repeat Super Bowl, you got to go all the way back to Dallas Buffalo. That's the last time we've had a repeat Super Bowl. We don't get that very often. So I guess you could even argue, even though they're sort of the favorites, it is a little out of the box because it's so rare. And Sean, finally, your Super Bowl pick. After all this, he's going to say Jets Giants.
Mm-hmm. No. Bengals will beat the Packers in the Super Bowl this year.
Bengals Packers. I like that.
Not a bad pick.
That's not a bad pick. I think we all kind of went out there a little bit, except for Lugie, who just went with the chalk. But I'd expect no different.
Chalky Lugie.
Jason in Ringwood. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up, guys? I have such a love-hate relationship with Lugie because Lugie's just talking about... Well, first of all, I call up the phone. He's talking on the radio. He's picking up my phone call, talking to me, jumping back on the radio. So, kudos. That was awesome. I'm totally impressed with that. Okay, on the other side, you were talking about integrity, and I thought it was funny because yesterday you were talking about neighbors having 19 touchdowns and, you know, hundreds of catches and all this stuff. And sometimes you talk about integrity, but then you give us all this, you know, hyperbolic information, this hyperbole about teams you like, and then you talk about integrity when you know some of this stuff you talk about is totally not true.
That's funny.
Go ahead, you want to respond, Lugie? He's attacking you.
So, obviously, it's an opinion, so it could always be true. It's just my opinion on something. I'm not stating a fact. I'm not saying Malik Nabers plays point guard for the Knicks. I'm saying I think he will have, by the way, it was 25 combined touchdowns. He's going to throw a few as well. It's about pumping up and being positive. And my point is this, Jason. Seriously, though, if we make a bet like that, and there's 60 grand on the line, how it would take over the town if the Jets and Giants were in the Super Bowl. If it got out that we cashed out for 20 grand, that would just crush the integrity of the show. I'm serious. No, that's a bad move.
It
to
wouldn't
do that.
Crush the integrity if we're open and honest about it.
It would crush the cojones of the show.
But
people would think we chickened out, took the easy way out.
Well, first of all,
they would be right.
But no, we would admit it. We would announce, okay, we got to cash out.
Yeah,
we're being
but we'd
offered
have to,
way too much money.
We'd have to give like a real reason why.
Here's the real reason. It's a lot of freaking money.
But it's Jets Giants Super Bowl. Right. Never been seen before. We can't mess with that. Maybe our bet was the reason it got there.
And by the way,
can't
it's not
it.
Even about winning the Super Bowl. It's about both our teams getting there.
That's it. That's all you need. All you need is them to get there. I'm making that bet tonight. So we are going to do it. I guess we're going to have to do like $33 each because Sean's out. So
He's in. He's going
in.
To be in
if
on
he doesn't
Monday.
Want to be. No, you know what?
I'll be in.
Oh, now you're in?
I'm not allowed to bet on football, so.
It's cool. You can't make that bet?
Bad Tiki can, though.
I can't. Bad Tiki can.
That's true. We'll get Bad Tiki in on it.
Here's the deal.
Fair enough.
Don't pay me for knockout pool. Take that towards the bet I got you on the knockout.
Yeah, fair enough. Speaking of knockout pools, where are people going with their knockout picks if you ever played it? We'll get to that. Usually when the Mets are playing really, really well, I hate off days. I just don't want an off day. Just keep playing and keep winning. I think it's good for a few reasons. One, the obvious, it's football tonight. Let's take a break and watch football. But from a baseball standpoint, this is the final stretch. The Mets still have a couple of more off days. They'll have another one next Thursday. And you saw how aggressive Carlos Mendoza was in using his bullpen. And I think that's something he's going to continue to do down the stretch because it's a playoff game. Every game they play is a playoff game. And so I think off days are actually valuable. And they help you reset the bullpen clock a little bit. They're about to play six straight days against Cincinnati over the weekend. And then up in Toronto next week. And then they take another off day. And then they begin a stretch in which they just keep playing a lot. So I like the off day. I think it's a good thing. Hopefully they'll get some help. Right now the Diamondbacks, a team they trail by three in the loss column for one of the wild card spots, is tied with the Giants 2-2. I'm keeping an eye on the Phillies, even though I think the Mets are going to catch the Phillies trailing by eight games in the loss column? Probably not. But I think, Teak, the fact that they play them seven times leaves open the, hey, well.
Right. If they stay in striking distance, it means that there is at least a chance.
Yeah.
So it makes it interesting come those series down the line. But the challenge for the Mets is simply going to be how good the National League wild card teams are. The guys that are sitting there.
They keep winning.
Yeah. I mean, the Mets have won seven in a row, and they have not gained an ounce, basically.
I know.
And so it's frustrating, but you just have to keep grinding ahead at it. The challenge is going to be once you have that little 1-2 game setback back, if those other teams keep on their run, then it kind of runs away from
them. Of course. That's
the challenge.
That's what's frustrating. That's why tonight, like, yes, football's the focus, but I'm keeping an eye on the help games.
Yeah.
The Braves are playing the Rockies tonight. The Tigers are playing the Padres. And you have to include San Diego and Arizona right now because the Mets are within striking distances of both of those teams. So what I'm hoping for with these three games, two later tonight, one going on right now, tied in the seventh, is can they get help on one of the games? That'd be nice. Just one. I mean, preferably the Atlanta one so they can be tied with them. And then, you know, have some fun going into the weekend. And oh, by the way, the Yankees are taking on a Chicago Cub team this weekend that is red hot. Maybe that's good because the Yankees have fared so well against good teams and have struggled against bad teams. And they're facing a Cub team that has sort of gotten themselves back in the wild card picture as well. The Mets lead over Chicago for the kind of second place in the three wild card race is only four games.
Yeah.
So it's within striking distance, and that's why let's go Yankees this weekend. You know, just to provide the extra security. Cubs are coming off a no-hitter the other day.
Right.
Combined no-hitter. Shota Imanaga.
It wasn't pretty, but they got it done.
Four
pitchers?
I think so. I got to go back. I got to tell you, the combined no-hitter interests me on such a limited level that even when I heard they got it last night, I barely even looked. I was like, oh, okay.
The only reason I thought it was four is because I saw a picture.
It was three. I'm looking at it now.
But there was four guys standing out there. And I was like, why is that one guy not in a uniform?
Oh.
Maybe it was just, I don't know, maybe it was the coach?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea who was going on.
Yeah, I don't know. They have three guys do it, and they pitched a no-hitter last night. The off day for the Yankees is good just because they need an off day.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, things have been frustratingly bad recently, and hopefully going into a weekend in Chicago against the Cubs can kind of spark them out of it. But obviously tonight, big football game. The season begins with Kansas City and Baltimore, and coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll make our pick for tonight's game. Let's get to some of your calls, 888-808-1019. Tim is calling from Indian Hills. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Evan, particularly you, I thought you, being the king of the emotional heads, you guys would have thought of bet the Jets and the Giants to each get into the playoffs. I wonder what the odds are on that.
To each just make the postseason?
Yep. Jets and Giants each make the postseason.
All right.
You got to get something out of that.
I mean, let me take a look at that. That's not really an emotional hedge. Like, the emotional hedge is betting the Jets to miss the postseason.
Right. After they're right there close to doing it.
Right.
In week 17, they need to win, you know, the last two games, 17 and 18, to make it. And they should, so you bet against it.
Exactly.
That would be the hedge.
Like, I showed the guys last night when the Mets built their early lead. I was emotional hedging all night last night in the Met game.
I did as well.
Mm. Well, you weren't emotional hedging. You were just betting against the Mets. You don't like the Mets.
Time out, Evan. Time out.
I'm timed. I'm out.
Well, you like, and I sat together for 8 innings of a baseball game last night.
Yeah, because you left early.
I left in the bottom of the 8th when Rich Hill couldn't get an out. What did I do during every Met run? Everything?
I don't know. What the hell did you do? I'm scoring the game.
Oh, good, cause I clapped.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, yes, I did.
You were clapping for their success?
Yes, because I don't hate the Mets and I hate the Red Sox. And I wanted to make that point very clear last night. I even joined in a Boston Sox chant.
You know what? Speaking of that, Sean.
I actually saw that on social media.
Oh, that the Boston Sox chant?
Yes.
Can I just say something about my fellow Met fans? Of course, I'm the leader here of Met fans, the voice on this radio station. The Met fans did something last night that I don't approve. Normally I would, but I didn't approve
of it. What was that?
As we're leading the stadium, there's Yankee sucks chants.
Yeah.
Including two, you know, schmoes when I'm walking on the train talking about the Yankee game. And I'm like, guys, we're red hot. We're on fire. We're winning games. Who gives a crap what's happening in Texas? I don't like that. That to me is, I'm all for dumping on the Yankees because they would do it to us. But last night's not the spot for Yankee suck chants.
The Red Sox being the opponent kind of contributes to that a little bit. This actually happens all the time.
Were they Mets fans or were they Red Sox fans?
They were Mets fans.
Are you sure?
I'm like pretty sure.
Did they have Mets paraphernalia on?
I think, I don't know, but there was enough of the chanting
going on.
Well,
no, the chanting.
I'm just saying, because maybe we're Red Sox fans, like, well, at least the Yankees lost too.
No. So to clarify, there were about, I'd say like 8% of the building was Red Sox fans. There were Red Sox fans, but it wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
There were moments of solidarity where they did Yankee suck chants. Absolutely. And that's Yankee fans and that's Red Sox fans. I'm sorry, Met fans and that's Red Sox fans. When the game was over and we were leaving, because Lugie and I were together when we were leaving, everybody was chanting Yankee suck. And I turned to him and said, why are we doing this?
Yeah, I hated it.
It always bothered me. Now, I get it a little bit more because it's the Red Sox, because there's like the, hey, we just swept your asses, but hey, we bombed on this. But Met fans do it all the time. Like, a lot of times they will chant Yankees suck, it's never done anything for me.
No,
like, even back in the mid-2000s, I'm like, well, why?
It is kind of stupid because it's like, well, I don't have anything else to say. So I'm just going
to
say.
They've got plenty to
say.
How
about Let's Go Mets?
Yeah, or even the MVP chant.
Let's go Mets.
Well, no, it's Let's Go Mets. Let's Go Mets. Or even the MVP chant for Lindor, or something about the Braves that's disparaging, which I'm all for. I don't understand the Yankee suck thing, but it's been going on forever, man. It happens all the time.
I'm happy I left then because I was in good spirits with Met fans. That would have annoyed me.
That would have bothered you?
Yeah. And what annoyed me more, too, let's just get this out in the air, too. You U.S. Open people got to take a walk, too. your sweater's tied around your neck. You're, like, so offended that Met fans are trying to rush into the ballpark, getting off the train. I firmly believe U.S. Open people, not my kind of people.
It is so humorous because if you've ever taken the railroad to Citi Field or to Arthur Ashe, so there's like this giant boardwalk, okay? And if you walk to the left, you go to Citi Field and the 7 train.
Okay.
If you go the other way, either you're leaving the train, the 7 train, you're walking towards the Arthur Ashe out of the tennis center.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the right side, you've got baseball fans. And they all, you know, look the same. We're disgusting. We're scroungy. We're wearing our jerseys. We're unkempt.
We smell. We're wearing hats. The women, very beautiful, but also scantily clad. Like, we're just, we don't give a crap. And then on the other end, Teague, are the tennis goers. And they are very classy.
Of course.
And they are buttoned up. And there is no cleavage there. And it's very highfalutin. We are dressed to impress. We have our button downs. We have, some are wearing, as Sean eloquently said, the sweater around our neck.
They look like Tiki.
Some
exactly
even brought tennis rackets. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the people with the tennis rackets?
Yes. Did they want to get them signed?
No, they act like they're playing at the U.S. Open. They're not playing. They're just watching.
That is weird.
Bizarre sport fans.
But it's so funny to see the stark difference between us disgusting baseball fans and those, you know,
high society.
High class society.
Dog there, in the purse.
I was running up the stairs to make it in for first pitch, and a woman went, "Oh, another baseball fan in a rush." Get lost, lady.
And I appreciate that
she
Sean
didn't actually say that.
No, she did.
She did.
She did.
Sean was running for first pitch.
Another
don't bury that part.
Baseball fan in a rush.
Yeah, because I guess she was tired of, you know, her and her highfalutin tennis world being bum-rushed by baseball fans. Mm.
I guess they don't care about making the first set or the first point of said tennis match. Right. We care about the first pitch, at least us baseball fans, and you're one of them, Sean. I'm impressed.
Yeah, exactly. Look, for a sport that scores with love, they certainly don't act like it.
Very nice.
By the way, also, maybe this for the Rico, you need to call the Mets. They got to do some house cleaning with some of the stuff that they had going on here. First of all, Back in the New York Groove is a Giants song. Don't play that at the end of games. I hate that.
When did the Giants start that?
When Tiki was playing.
No, I get that, but the Mets have done that off and on for many, many years. I don't know who had it first. Now, if you want to do the proper research on that, that would be great. I have no problem admitting who had it first, but we got to know the facts.
But who do you associate with it now? The Giants.
I mean, I don't associate it with anybody, actually.
No,
it's just
no,
a
no,
song.
No. That's a Giants song. You associate that with the Giants. When I hear that song, you go to bars and stuff when the Giants score touchdowns,
Tommy,
they play that song.
You never go to Met games. You don't even know how it sounds. Like, they play it all the time.
Okay, but I'm just telling you right now, I associate it with the Giants. That is the first thing. The second thing is that laser light show they do, that should be for when our pitchers come out, not the opposing pitchers, and they do these dopey sound effects that sound like a bad horror movie that are awful.
Yeah, they started doing that this year where when you go to a Met game, it's like you're at a Brooklyn Nets game. There's a lot of sounds. A lot of big sounds going on. And it's like, geez. You know, nah, we're going to sound like old men right now. I mean, let's be honest, because the young people probably love it. Like, hey, ooh, it's cool. It's fun. But for me, it's like, oh, my God, give it a break. I just want to think for a second. I want to break down Carlos Mendoza's managerial moves. For the record, here are the odds on the New York Giants to make the postseason. Plus 370. So if you want to make the bet that the Giants surprise everybody and make the playoffs.
It doesn't sound that high.
Plus 370?
Yeah. To make the playoffs?
A lot of teams make the playoffs, Teague.
Yeah, but a lot of people think the Giants are going to be 4 or 5-win team,
yeah,
which is nowhere near making the playoffs.
No, I get you. But, you know, you compare it to other teams. Like, fine, like, let's use
who has the longest odds?
I would assume the Carolina Panthers. Would you like me to look at their number? Because that's my assumption that it's
right,
them.
Right, because I'm assuming they're going to be potentially the worst team.
Plus 470.
So it's not even bad for the... It's not that far away.
Well, I think making the playoffs is not the most impossible thing.
Yeah.
Put it that way. And that's why the number is as
well. It's also because you've seen every year for the last, I don't know how many, 3 or 4, teams go from really bad to pretty decent.
Yeah, it happens.
Almost every year it happens.
And the Giants did it 2 years ago.
Yes. And then the Texans did.
Yeah. The Jets, on the other hand, are minus 172 to make the playoffs, plus 140 not to. So they are a significant favorite to make the postseason, and they better. I mean, let's just be frank about this. You know, there's no middle ground here. If the New York Jets don't make the playoffs, this season was an unmitigated disaster.
Oh, no doubt.
No question.
I mean, winning
about
the Super Bowl is a high expectation. It's one of those things where you look at the roster and say, we have the people and the characteristics on paper to potentially win a Super Bowl. But that's still pipe dreamish, especially because of what we detailed with the AFC and the challenges.
They wouldn't even be the favorite.
Everybody, whether it's the Bengals or whether it's the Chiefs or the Bills, whoever. There's a ton of challenges to get. But making the playoffs is almost a necessity.
It's an absolute necessity. This whole thing gets blown up if they don't make the playoffs.
Right.
I don't want to hear, well, they were 9-8. They were, no. They have to make the playoffs.